day. Did you get you some glasses and look them at it either?
Sat in my office and all my staff were like looking out the window.
Yeah, my kids were out there. They had gotten two pairs of glasses. Well, actually, WKYT actually donated so many glasses to the kids at the daycare. And so, yeah, they were looking through them. And it was, I mean, they were telling it was an eclipse. It was an eclipse. And it's crazy because on social media today, everybody's like, oh, nothing happened. I didn't really hear anybody say anything was going to happen. I just heard that. I mean, I'm more worried about 40 days after. I mean, like, that's not how God works. So, yeah. So that's been the theme for me looking at God's judgment, because I do believe that the eclipse is part of judgment. I mean, it happens for a reason. But it was interesting to see all the different views and then people's opinion on it and stuff. So, I mean, we just have to kind of wait and see what's going on.
And then just seeing what people are making of it.
Yeah. At least everyone's looking up.
True.
So I'm just saying, everybody's looking up and everybody's kind of like, you know, the Lord stuck Mark 1:15 in my mind. I can't get past it. And, you know, it's to repent and believe the gospel. And so, you know, everyone's looking up. That's a good thing. So, but I was like, all y'all people out there looking at the solar eclipse, them $3 glasses are not going to protect you like the masks didn't either.
So. I know, I was telling Abby, I was like, don't look at it.
Yeah.
Just video it and then look at it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy. And I've always wondered, like, why? It's like, well, you're not supposed to gaze into the sun. Okay. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't believe anything anyway. So, but whatever. So, yes, there was an eclipse. And we're still here. And that's so disappointing to me. Because I am so ready to be gone. Like, every week that we're here, I'm like, Lord, please get us out of this place. Like, I wasn't made. I was made for the end times, but I wasn't made for, like, I'm made to be with the Lord. No more sin. No more death. I'm so tired of death. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of it all. I'm ready to be on with the Lord where everybody just gets what they get. You know, you had your time to choose on if you were going to believe in Jesus, and so now you get what you get and you don't throw fit.
Right.
So that's just how it is. So anyway, all right, so week 500 on biblical women,
because we need that much help.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, the Lord could convicted me, like, we might need one more week.
Well, I have another video I'm going to watch, so that'll work out.
So I mean, I'm like, well, okay, but it's starting to make sense. So, like, if you haven't watched the last videos of biblical women, I mean, you watch us each week walk in here like, darn it, you know, and the things that he's making us do, and us walking in obedience, but we're laughing through it, but I'm seeing change.
Mm-hmm, a little bit.
I mean, I really am, and so I don't know, but we'll go ahead and start with some of the things. You go ahead and start this week.
Well, I was watching the same lady, and I wrote down her name this time. Her name is Wendy Bender. So she has, I think it's a 4-part series on YouTube about how to be a godly wife. And so she started this one out by talking about Titus 2. And so Titus 2:5, and it says, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And so we're to have self-control, and this means safe in mind or self-restrained, control over our mouths and everything that we do.
Yeah. You know, the thing, that's like almost impossible.
Yeah.
You know, and when we look at where these women were versus where we are now, like, it almost seems hopeless, because you can't, like when I realized that we were created for man.
Mm-hmm.
And we were created to be his helpmate. And we have literally abandoned our husbands. Like, I'm hard on the guys, because I'm like, you should be leading your family. The snakes are getting in. But we've also abandoned our husbands because we have decided to get a vision for ourselves. And our vision goes this way, and our husband's vision goes this way. When we were created for our husband, and we're supposed to help him. I mean, that's like the most bizarre thing I've ever heard of. To help my husband become the greatest thing that he could be. Like, that's funny. Like, who am I? You know what I'm saying? But that's the world that we live in. Is it's made us get a vision, but that's from the curse of the garden. And so we have done all this stuff, and now it's like we don't know how to get out of it.
We've built our lives around what society says and what we've had to do because of the way society is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're in it now. Mm-hmm. How do you get out of it?
Well, and so that was my question to myself, like, why? So how do we do what we can do? And it is by changing, like, our focus. And so, like, a lot of women quit their jobs to raise their kids at home. But really, in reality, in which that takes the focus on your children, when our focus really should be on our husbands and raising the children. I know that sounds crazy, but like at the end of the day, David gets the least, because I go to work for someone else. I give them my very best. And at home, my family and my kids or my husband suffers. And so, like, how do you change that in the world today? And I will tell you, since David has been teaching this budget class, it has given us, like, we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And for That's so long nice. In our life, we've not been on the same team. He's hidden this, or I've hidden that, or whatever. And so now we've agreed on a price to spend on groceries a week. And so then my job is to provide for my house and my home with what we've mm-hmm. agreed upon. And so it's like we're on one team, but yet I still make the small little decisions and like both, everybody has a, but it has brought a new purpose to me. Like how to be crafty. Like what honors our husbands? We don't know. Like if I would say if you asked your husband tonight, what honors you? What would honor you that I could do or whatever? Like, we don't know what their mission is. Like, mine is to get out of debt. That's mm-hmm. what my mission is for my... But Tommy's mission may be something totally different. And you're supposed to help him reach that goal.
Or change his mind.
Or whatever. He can... Yeah, you are an influence. You're an agent of... Yeah. So, you know, that's hard for me to wrap my brain around. That that's my job, is to make my husband great.
Yeah.
Because the world has told us, but because we follow our own way and the world's way, that's why we have divorce rates the way that they are. And so we have to take some blame for not lifting our husbands and edifying them and speaking truth into their life. So about what either you want them to be or what, you know, sometimes you just can't see what you can be because the world has beat you down. And men, that's hard for them. So
somebody asked, or one of the my employees at work today asked me, you know, if money wasn't an issue, what would you do with your life? Like, mm-hmm. what would you choose to spend your time doing?
Yeah.
Like work? I have no idea.
Yeah. And I think that we've just, that's not how God meant for us to live this life.
Yeah.
You know, and so,
you know, her example was, she would have like a farm for dogs or, mm-hmm. you know, something with animals. I'm like, what would I do?
Well, yeah. And it really makes you search yourself to like, what is your purpose? What do you see yourself doing? What do you enjoy doing? Cause those aren't questions that we ask ourselves. I was listening to a girl that was talking about we're to be beautiful, cheerful, and helpful. That us women were to always keep ourselves up. You know, you don't want to let yourself go. I'm huge on that with my girls. Like, my girls sometimes look like they can roll out of bed, and I'll be like, you look like you just rolled out of bed. You are naturally beautiful, but I need, you know, more than sweatpants and hoodies on. But we're to keep ourselves up. I've never been to Walmart with no makeup on. I mean, you know, that's just the type of... And older women are...
I don't go anywhere with
them. I don't either. Or my hair done or whatever. Some of these girls look like they have just, like, do something. And then cheerful. A husband wants to come home to a cheerful wife. We kind of talked about that last week, like he just, or the week before last, when he told his wife he wanted her just to be in a good mood mm-hmm. when he came home. And then helpful. How can you help him? So this is, I've never been taught this in depth about a biblical woman, that my role is to help my husband be who God has created. And in that, like, if you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, she does all these things. And you would think she was tired, but she's joyful and she's respected. And she just, it's because her priority is on her home and her husband and not on anything else. So it's not so much of like what she has or what she hasn't or the skills that she has. It's that her focus and her time is on the important things mm-hmm. instead of your career or, you know. I mean, yep. It's crazy.
Part of that verse said to be pure, or the King James Version says chaste. And this means to maintain purity of mind and heart, not just in act, but speech and thought, and even in dress and look. And we should be God-honoring. Don't be uncaring of how you look. Look nice for your husband. Take care of yourself.
That's right. That's right. And that's just, you know, I don't know why we think that once we get married, we just let ourselves go. You know, I mean, that is a mental health issue as well. Like I can always tell if I'm getting depressed because I won't like want to take a bath or I don't want to brush my teeth yeah. or, you know, like, so that lets me know. Yes. Yeah. That lets me know there's something, you know, I need to get some healthy thoughts going or whatever. But you know, your purpose in with your home is, I think it just, for some reason the word intensify, I can't get away from that word. I feel like we have to intensify in everything that we do with our children. Intentional, being intentional. Like, it's not just letting life live you, you know, like you have to live your life and be in charge of it. And so, like, there's things that we can do, habits that we can do as women to help us change and do all we can do that is possible, because we all can't go quit our jobs. But we have to seek God first. We have to know who we are, who God says we are, because there's no fruit that can grow unless we're connected to the vine.
Yeah.
And so if we're not connected to God, then it doesn't matter that you pray for your husband or whatever. You know, you have to be connected in order to pray, so, because you won't pray. But apart from Jesus, you'll fall short. And I know that when I'm in the Word and I'm studying, I'm more gentle, I'm more focused than when I'm just chaotic, letting the world run me.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
You forget. Become worldly.
You do. It creeps in quickly. Another thing is we're to be the peacekeepers of our home. You know, so like if you've got a bunch of kids at home, you know, and they're running around everywhere, you control the attitude, you control the menu, you control everything of your home. And so, you know, everything's a lesson. Listen, there's a lady named Rose at our church, and she used to say that she would give her kids, that she would set the timer, and she'd set them on the couch for 10 minutes, and she would give them 10 minutes to try to work out their problem on their own. And then at 10 minutes, when that buzzer would go off, they would have to come and tell her what they've worked out. And if they had not worked it out, then what she decided was a harsher punishment because they couldn't work it out on their own. And it just was like... Now my kids are grown, and I really needed that whenever.
Yeah, you can't use it now.
No. I put my husband and my son. Now, today I left them. They were doing bills together. I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's where it is right now. But, and I'm developing my son, even my adult son, into a man. You know, like, I feel like I'm playing catch-up. Like, things that I didn't teach him and I should have taught him that now I'm getting to take the time. And I always tell Keaton, like, you know, make sure that, you know, Maddie is being seen and heard, and, you know, reminding him to be that for his wife.
Well, and these are things that you're learning now.
So the Bible says that we're to submit to our own husbands, not to all men. And so You make sure that, you know, I heard a pastor say, you're the only person praying for your husband, like really in all honesty. And if he was rewarded by your prayers.
Oh gosh.
Yes. Like if you're the only one praying and you are interceding for your husband in his business, in his attitude, in his whatever, you're the one that's praying because you know him the most. You know what his needs are. You know what needs to be, his weaknesses are, his strengths are. And when you start looking at it like that, like, I don't want my husband not to be prayed for. Because, you know, some of these other wives are probably praying really hard for their husbands. And there were some things that it was talking about. Asking the Lord to put your husband in front of great men that are going to elevate him and mm-hmm. prosper him. You know, like directing his path. Like you are in charge of that. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And if he's put in front of great men, then that means your family will prosper and your family will have, I mean, so it's really deeper than what I've ever took being a biblical wife. I didn't know my role was so important.
Deep.
Yeah. So that's why I think we need one more week because, you know, it just gives us some of these ideas. And it's even for single women. Like if you're not married yet, this was suggesting keeping a prayer journal for your future husband and that you take care of yourself, like, you know, refraining from sex, from having sex, because you are trying to prepare yourself for your husband. Like you love him that much that you are even taking care of yourself prior to meeting him. Mm-hmm. Like you're praying for him prior to. It was really, really good to hear some of the things that it's not just for married women wanting to change their marriage, but also single women who are seeking a husband. I mean, the Lord is who sends you a husband and a wife, you know? So I thought that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. I just think when it said, you know, you're the only one really praying for your husband, unless he's got a mom. I mean, you are what lifts your husband and your children up before the Lord. So that spoke to me. And I thought, I want my husband to be prayed for. I want him to be covered from his head to his toe. I want him, you know,
just puts a new perspective
it
on.
It does. It does. And I mean, And I think the team, like I learned this from an Avatar movie, and I know this is crazy, but the second Avatar movie, the mother is all there and they're all kind of fighting amongst one another. And she says, we are on the same team. Like she was holding her family together. And it was at that moment that I thought, I don't view my family like that. Mm-hmm. Like we're all on one team. Like David's always against me, or you know, like where there's no oneness. And I think that we've just gone in separate directions for so long in our life that it feels weird to be part of the same team. Mm-hmm. Like I'm definitely gonna bring
something you'll have to get used to.
Yeah. Like there's no like hidden agenda. It's we've agreed on everything. There's oneness. There's a mission, there's a goal, and we're doing everything we can to meet that. And so it is really good. It's been good. All right. So what else you have?
There's she talked about four enemies to the Christian woman's call to lead their home with character and integrity. And so number one is social ambition. So sometimes we're looking for what we can do outside of the home to prove ourselves.
Yep.
And that could be in your job or like
anything.
Anything. And that's,
prove our worth, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's an issue. Like we don't know who we are. We don't know what our worth is in Christ. Therefore we look for it in men. And that's why you have women falling for the same type of men over and over again, getting in a cycle because they want to be loved. Instead, they need to wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it always takes me back to seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added.
Yeah.
He says that if you, and these are the things like I've had to remind myself, like he says, seek me and you'll find me. So if I seek him with all my heart, soul and mind, that I will not only find him, but he will add everything I need.
Yeah.
You know, and so those are the things that you have to keep reminding yourself. I don't know where any of those verses are in the Bible.
That's okay.
None of them. I think I just put three of them. I just put three of them together because I would have to remind myself, because this is conversations like that you have to remind yourself that he says, if you seek me, you're going to find me. And then it says to seek him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then he'll add everything. And so those are the things that you have to have faith on. Okay, well, I'm going to seek you. So.
And so it's the heart of God for women to be the managers of the home. And you can tell that when you're reading the word, and especially right there in Titus 2:5. We're to take care of the kids and husband, but this may not be their central ambition. So some women are looking for more outside the home. So we've got to, sometimes I think it has to do with not being content. You know, we're talking about, you know, the worth, finding your worth outside of the home when God says, you know, it's all, he's got it all put together for you in the home. So number two is we have an appetite for admiration and accolades. We want to be seen, known, and heard. We want a pat on the back. I'm guilty of that. We want an attagirl. It's normal to want those things. And we love to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
But do we improperly do things for the wrong motives to receive things?
Yeah. We do.
Yeah, we do all the time.
Because we've been taught that we have one life. YOLO, you know, be all you can be. And the focus is not on the family.
Mm-hmm. And then we should be doing things to honor God, and he will reward us, not society.
Yeah. We are to leave legacies to our family. You don't ever hear of that anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't ever hear of families leaving legacies for their... And that is a legacy... can be a Bible, you know, of just someone who's poured out their scripture. But like, you know, if you have poured out your life to the Lord, you live a pretty peaceful, I mean, that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the craziest thing. Like, and it's not, it's like mine, like I should be like, phew, like this is just common sense that the Lord has laid out. But we've made it so hard because of the life that we want, like we want to live. And the focus has gotten too quick. Like, I was listening. It just blows my mind how deep and dark things go. Because I was listening that the reason for TikTok really being shut down is because of TikTok Shop. Because Amazon has took such a hit. It is
always about money.
It is. It is about money. It's about money and being able to get things that you want. And you will take down anybody. Because of the things, and that's our fast-paced world. And so, therefore, when we look at life, we judge our life on things.
Yeah.
And not on families thriving and happy marriages. I mean, when we went on a cruise ship, there was only one couple that was married longer than me and David, which was 25 years. They were married 38 years. No one else on the cruise ship could say, and that was in that show, could say that they were married for a long period of time. It's because it's been attacked. I mean, and it's just, look what it's destroyed. You've destroyed the home, the makeup on the both. You got pornography for the men visually, and then you've got this power trip of women.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got two disasters, and then you've got these kids in the middle. And it has destroyed homes. I mean, we don't have homes with mothers and fathers in them hardly anymore. And then in the state of Kentucky, most of your children are being raised by grandparents or a family member.
Yeah.
I mean, he's destroyed our home.
Or the school system.
And he's destroyed it all.
Yeah.
And so what we have to do is recognize that we, in order for us to make change in our family line, that we have to start with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that means making some hard choices of elevating your husband. I don't know why the Lord made it that way. I don't know why he created man and then said it was not good for man to be alone. And so he wanted to make a helper for the wife or for the husband. I don't know why he did that. I'm not God, but I know that his way is the right way.
Yeah.
And so that's how my life's going to prosper and
have what is that verse? His ways are higher.
Yeah,
his thoughts
are higher. His ways are higher. We won't be able to see it now, but we will. So it's just recognizing that this is what the Lord intended. And so, like, that's where obedience comes in. What are you going to do with now that what you know the Lord has called us to do? That is your choice. You get to choose if you're going to be an obedient wife. And I'm not saying, oh, Christy and Lisa said, quit the job. Quit your job. We're supposed to be homemakers. You know, and that might be something that your husband's like, absolutely not. But you can, you know, one night at dinner, if that is your heart's desire to truly stay home and for the betterment of your whole family, then tell him that that is a desire that one day you hope to have, you know, and that you will, and here's the benefits of it, and there's got to be a plan and stuff, and then pray and ask the Lord to help you. If that's really his will, he'll provide a way for you to stay home and take care of everything, you know.
Do you think there's an age limit on that?
No, I don't. I think it's going to be easier for us as women than it is for younger women who have children to not be home with their kids. But, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice in that when you say that. Like, I'm going to work on my menu. You know, I'm not going to fix all these crazy meals that cost a lot. You know, we might have hot dogs one week, or we might, you know, to be able to fit your, you know, allotted amount into that week. And I didn't realize how much pride and arrogance and entitlement was in me, because, you know, my thing is like, I work hard, I deserve that. But you have there's a bigger goal, and, you know, it's just crazy. But I mean, like, I've always wanted a divine marriage where my husband was great. I've always prayed that the Lord would make my husband great. That's never been an issue for me as far as, like, submitting or, I mean, I'm an alpha, I'm a leader, but I also know my place in the home. Not that I don't overstep it, but it definitely is doing something different in our home.
That's good.
It's weird. It's kind of like, I kind of like you again. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like there for a while. If you would have asked me a couple years ago, I'd have been like, our marriage has no hope. I mean, I've ruined it. He's ruined it. And there's still things that we have to work through that we're not, you come to a point where you don't want to hide anything from your husband or your wife anymore. And then it's like, you want to come clean about everything and, you know, start all over. And you got to work through that stuff and trust one another. But it is, I thought it was dead.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, it's not that I don't love him, I just didn't like him, you know. And so now the Lord is, like, slowly bringing life back to marriage. And it's like, I want to be around him, and I do miss him when I'm not with him. And it's because my focus over the past couple of weeks have been
on him. One of the comments that she made was, the devil's constantly working to sow tares into your marriage. The enemy wants you to create an enemy in your spouse. Mm-hmm. The enemy is Satan, not your spouse. He wants to destroy your marriage.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the more we get into this, we can see that.
Oh, gosh. Look at your marriage right now and look at everything that you've been through. Look at all the stuff Satan has came at your marriage with. I mean, like, I look and I'm thinking, I'm reliving everything, and I'm like, there's blood, sweat, tears, pain, agony, suffering, and I'm thinking, man, Satan really hates that we're together, and he doesn't want us to work, and so he's going to throw everything he can. And so when you kind of start to recognize the enemy, you're like, he's really out to destroy my home. And then you kind of get puffed up, like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got my eyes on you now. Like, yeah. I see you. I see what you're trying to do. And he's focusing in on your husband's weaknesses and your weaknesses and your children's weaknesses. And you, like, start to get like mama bear. Like, I'm about to take the enemy out. And that's why you have to pray over your children, because he's after your children. It is amazing.
Yeah.
What the Lord has taught me this week.
So number three is we have a passion for shallow and careless excitement. So this could be an inclination to do things that don't have lasting effect, or an inclination to idle talk. What we say and how we talk matters at home and in our relationships.
Oh yeah, that's the retail therapy one right there. Because, like, when you're not feeling good, you just go do some retail therapy shopping,
you know.
And, or you eat, or you're take a pill, or you take a drink, or whatever. It's because, that's just, I'll never have an explanation for that. Like, it is, for so long, David couldn't understand addiction, and it was like, you know, I finally get it. I finally understand it. When you have felt hurt, and it's like you just don't want to feel that hurt anymore. That's what I'm so tired of. I'm tired of, you know, and it's not that it is a constant hurt, but it's like, you know, you'll go in 2-3 weeks, somebody will die, and somebody 2-3 weeks later die. I mean, it is constant, just a constant, just, and that's where it kind of, I've been. Like, dude, I'm so over loss and death and sickness and cancer and
this world.
Yeah. So it is just, and so we just have to cling to everything in this book, because that's it. Like, there's no marriage going to work without the Holy Spirit. There's no addiction ever going to be broken without the Holy Spirit. There's no habit or shortcoming or weakness or that can be taken care of without the Holy Spirit. I mean, you have to point this, and people will get mad. They'll be like, I don't want you to throw the Bible at me. Well, then you don't want help. You don't want the ant, because that's the only way. Anything outside of Jesus, I mean, he sustained you. And so, like, when you try to get cocky and you try to come out from behind him or whatever, or his protection, you get taken out. So there's so much more to a walk than just believing, because it's when obedience, when you start walking in obedience, that's when the war starts.
Yeah.
And you're exhausted, mm-hmm. you know.
I get it.
It is crazy, because I never looked at it like that before. Never looked like we're in a war over the protection of our homes. And the more that I see my failure all through this, because I'm not elevating my husband. I'm not, you know, I should have been doing this, but I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where the change is.
But this isn't taught.
No, it's not. It's not taught. And that's what I don't understand. Like, you always hear Ephesians 5, you know, submit to your husband, blah, 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 blah. You know, you hear Proverbs 31. And I think we're guilty of it. And I think that's why the Lord held us here. Because you can miss it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just skim over and you just read, you're like, submit to your husband. Okay, I'll submit to my husband, whatever. But, like, what? How do you do that in a world where two incomes are a must? And so, you know, that's kind of like, and I do think we need one more week on it. I know that that's crazy, but I just think that I do want to bring Jesse and, but I mean, like, Chris's answer for everything is, it's just Jesus. I mean, that's what she's going to say over and over. It's just, we love Jesus. I mean, that is the answer.
But it's almost like they're both on the same level.
They are. That's it.
And
that's it.
When you have one more than the other, like mm-hmm. that,
it makes it hard. And so therefore,
and then you feel like you're the only one that's like mm-hmm. in it.
And the majority,
how do you get him in it? Like,
because you pray for him and you tell him who he is, and you lift him up and you edify him, and you know, that is the craziest thing for me. Like, he becomes your focus. He becomes your obsession. It's like crazy, but it's not. Because, like, when she talks about Jesse, she talks about him like that's her Lord and Master. Well, that's how Sarah addressed mm-hmm. Abraham, was Lord. You know, not that he's to be ruling over us, but it's because you look at him and he becomes everything that God has created him to be, because you have, I mean, it really is crazy, and it really does work. And,
but when we do all of this stuff, when we're, you know, edifying our husband, it's, and you, even when you don't want to, do it because you want to glorify the Lord.
That's right.
And that's what I'm trying to get in my head. It's like, you know, this fourth enemy against Christian wives is a dull and lazy servitude or approach or bad attitude to the routine tasks mm-hmm. and the things that we are supposed
and
to do as a
wife. That's so easy to have.
Yeah, and you can easily get into this by saying, I'm the only one who does laundry, which is not the case.
Not me either.
In my home. But why am I the only one doing the things and filling the blanks? And so creating this can, and it does, create bitterness.
It does. Resentment.
Yeah, and I can I can see the bitterness in my husband towards me because I don't do the things that I probably should be doing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I think once you get a different look on it.
And that sometimes that sounds like, you know, dishes slamming and
yeah,
pushing the drawer, right. I get it. Those kind of things. And I've got to get out of this. But when I come home, I'm so tired because I'm an introvert and I have to be people-y all day.
Yes, you do. And so you have to recharge at home and you have to be by yourself.
And then I go work out. And like you're saying, you know, David, and it gets the end of you. It's the same thing for me.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, and that takes time. And so what the Lord will do is he hears your heart. Like for me, if you never tell Jesus anything about you out loud, like you don't know, like you tell him like, Lord, I don't want to be like, for me, I'll say, I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be in a bad mood. I don't want my mood to change when he comes home because he says something, like he can say something and my mood will change. Yeah. And I'm like, I have no control over that, Lord, you know? And so I'm praying to him about that. You have to have conversations like that with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like I do not do churchy prayers.
I'm not an out loud talk to Jesus.
Right.
But I should be.
But you know what is funny is that when you, the more you talk to the Lord, the better prayer you're going to be. Like for me, I can never be like, oh, heavenly Father of the heavenly realm. I mean, like, I'm not anything like that. Like, I'm like, God, Father, you know, and I just go on into my prayer on what I'm praying about. And sometimes I'm angry and sometimes I'm mad. God doesn't, he can handle every bit of that. He just wants you to come and talk to him.
Yeah.
And then y'all work it out. But we don't talk to him. And a lot of people have got their self fooled thinking that they know who Jesus is, but they don't ever talk to him. They don't tell him about anything. And therefore, he's just waiting on you to talk to him and tell him, like, I can't do this. I can't keep my mood good, or I can't keep, like, you know. And then you can pray and for if your husband comes home in a bad mood, or your wife comes home in a bad mood, Lord, help them to be in a good mood, and then help me to help them transition. It may be a transition thing. Yeah. I mean, I hear at the daycare, kids have a really hard time transitioning from a classroom to go outside to play or whatever. So that hallway is always so chaotic. So sometimes it's a transitioning issue with adults as well. And being able to recognize that and crying out, but like I try to take care of me with the Lord. Like, I know I'm praying about David with this and this and this, but Lord, I'm selfish and I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I need you to help me, give me the energy, give me the strength, give me the desire, me the want to, me the passion. And he does, he'll do it for you. But it's a lot.
One of the things that she said was, how clean would you make your home if you knew Jesus was coming to visit?
It's crazy. Well, and I will say, you know, sometimes you get in a rut, and sometimes there is a season of grief, or there is depression, or there is something going on, and it's okay to get some help during that period. Like, you know, if you need to pick up a housekeeper, if you're busy, you know, don't get whatever, or asking someone, like, you know, like David, for like the laundry pretty much has ended for him because he's busy now in the summer. So in the summer, I do a lot of the laundry and the cleaning and stuff like that. And then in the winter, when he's not as busy, then he helps out. Yeah. So it's just communicating and being like, man, this is a busy week for me. Can y'all help out? You know, but we tend to just expect people to know what to do and how to be. And
I wait for the weekends. And then that's when I do the cleaning.
Yeah. Because you're just tired and stuff. Yeah. And there's some people who work great off of a list and a menu. And I'm not a list person. I would love to be a list person, but I leave my list at home. I'll make a list and then I leave it at home. Or
is that what you had to go get?
Yes. I mean, my lists are like, I was saying, yeah, no, I had to go get the. But like, this is two messages. Like, the pencil one was, I think, last week's. So, I like, when I say I'm a hot mess, I am a hot mess. I really wish I could keep everything in a book and keep it together. I do have a binder, but I'll leave it in the car. And when I'm listening to a sermon, I just have to grab something really quick and write it down. And so, I don't know. But I'm a writer downer. I'm not a typer. A lot of people say, why don't you just type it out? Because I retain it better when I write it. So anyway. All right. So we are One more week. I think we got one more week in us. Because I have learned so much. I really have. And then we'll try to, we'll get Jesse and Chris on here to let them talk about their marriage and kind of how they've been married for 13 years. And then...
how are we going to fit four people in here?
I don't know. We might have to, like, take I'll it outside or something. I don't know. We'll let them sit in. But yeah. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Let them sit in the same seat.
Yeah. Sit in his lap. She's crazy like that, and she would totally do it. But anyway, so, yeah, we're going to do one more week. So, what was your question that you were supposed to ask last week? We were supposed to ask a question.
You were supposed to say, I love you for...
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you?
Today, I did. So, today, it rained here, because it's been raining all the time. And so, he messaged me. I didn't say, I love you. I got it messed up. I thanked him. Because he's like, if you're going to feed all your goats and chickens, you need to do it before 1 o'clock because it's going to pour the rain. So I get out there at 12:45. He was right on the dot because I got rained on. And so when I went to his shop, I said, I just wanted to tell you thank you for letting me know that it was going to rain. That really helped me out. You know, just try. And he was like, oh, you're welcome. You know, like, I know, like, thanking me in front of my son. In front of my son. So, like, there's a lot of damage that we've done as far as, like, yelling and things like that that need to be taken care of. Like,
we have to.
You know, so this should be the thing on how, what not to be. Yeah. Do not do what Christy did. But, yeah. And this is what we're teaching on biblical women. But, yeah, like, so when I was thinking about all this, I was thinking, we're going to do one more week because I really feel like... One more week would do.
Is there one way you want to study or focus on? Or
I just think I like the habits and of, you know, praying for your husband and learning that, like, you are it for him. Mm-hmm. Like, you're his biggest cheerleader. You're what, you know, and then if he received reward or things he got in his life due to your prayers, you know, what's that saying? And it's, I don't know, I just have been taught so much. And then we'll end it with Jesse. So we'll do next week, and then we'll have Jesse and Chris.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
And then we'll kind of move on out of here.
Go unless, on and unless, tell them about it.
Oh, I know. Yes, I'm going to have to tell them about it. But they're ready. This is what they do good. I always tell them they have had a divine marriage because they just lift each other up. And it's always good. It's always good stuff. So, and I want that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you're supposed to... You're supposed to look to someone, they're supposed to look at you or your spouse and want what you have, not like your physical relationship, but a kind of relationship. And it's a divine marriage that I think all of us strive to have. And for some reason, the Lord has put the women in charge of getting it that way.
Dang it.
I know, it's a lot. So anyway, all right, well, we'll see you next week and we'll be back talking about us women and what else we're doing wrong. Yeah, so all right. See you next week.